Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel. Brechtel. Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Yes.
Hales.
Here.
Hallinan. Hallinan.
Here.
Hammonds. Hammonds.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Mercer.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen. Moniz,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Philp,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Brechtel,
here.
60 present.
The prayer today is given by Representative Yagi. Representative Yagi.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee as we start our session this morning. We're thankful as a group of legislators and staff to have been able to meet this session and for the things we've been able to accomplish. We recognize thy hand and inspiration in the debate and the ideas and thoughts that we've been able to go over this session, for the things we've been able to do. We give thanks for the freedoms that we enjoy, the country that we live in. We pray for the leaders of this world, and especially our nation and those that are serving Congress and the state legislators and the Wyoming state legislature. As we have met this session, we pray that as we go home, we can remember and carry out and do the things that we are assigned in our interim topics and help the citizens of Wyoming know that we do care and we're trying to make things better. We give thanks for those that are serving and protecting the freedoms that we enjoy and pray that they would be blessed and their families. And bless our families as we're away for the sacrifices that they're willing to do for us. And we pray that thou would help us this day and tomorrow and we wind things up, that thy spirit can be with us and our leadership. We give thanks for all that we have. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. To lead us in the... Thank you, Mrs. Carter. Thank you, students. It's nice to have you here today. We'll try and do our best.
And we will learn.
And we'll try and learn something, too. Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 3rd, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbudo, Representative Moniz.
We have a special event this morning with two special people. Taylor Lenz was born in Cheyenne, but has spent most of her life in Torrington so far. Her father is an assistant basketball coach at Eastern Wyoming College and is employed with the Children's Home. Her older brother, Clark, is currently a freshman at UW. Her maternal grandparents are Leo and Doris Garcia. Mr. Garcia was a respected member of the House of Representatives from 1995 to 1998. Her paternal grandparents, Hugo and Martha Lenz, live in Wheatland. Taylor is a 100% Wyoming-made product. There's more. Last summer, Taylor had the opportunity to attend Girls' State, where she became acquainted with the chief clerk. She was a member of the Senate, but did have a chance to meet the generous House of Representative members who volunteered to mentor Girls' State. Her involvement in Girls' State led her to be interested in serving as a page. We are very happy she was interested. Taylor is a Torrington High School senior who has been taking college classes at Eastern Wyoming College and will qualify as a second semester sophomore when she enrolls at UW. Her academic aspirations are a degree in nursing with an eventual doctorate to enable her to become a nurse practitioner. It is her desire to one day open a practice for the less blessed, as Taylor puts it. Taylor has spent 4 years on the varsity tennis team and 3 years doing public forums and debate with her brother as her teammate. She is also a member of the ballroom dancing team. Naturally, she is a fan of the television show Dancing with the Stars. The turtle knows that she is applying some of these fancy footsteps to her job as student page in the House of Representatives. I'm not sure who the turtle is, but he knows that. John Root came to the House to serve as student page at the recommendation of me. He is a senior at Cody High School. He was born in Omaha, Nebraska, but has lived in Cody since he was 3 years old. His mother's work as a pathologist drew, pun intended, them to Cody. His father was soon employed as a district ranger in the Shoshone Forest Service. John has an older sister who lives in Boise and an older brother who is a senior at the University of Minnesota. The Root family originally comes from Minnesota country, where a large part of their family remains. Life in Minnesota helped to create a love of the outdoors, which John's father shares with him. Father and son enjoy rising at 4 a.m. to go duck hunting in the frigid air. Ice fishing is another favorite activity that sometimes is affected by Cody wind. It has been known to blow the roots in their gear across the ice as they attempt to catch the big one. Cross-examination debate and a team leadership group keep John busy. He plans to enroll at UW to pursue an eventual law degree in order to become a federal law enforcement officer. He would like to enhance this academic course with study of foreign languages. His Baltic Sea cruise last summer exposed him to the commendable language abilities of the Europeans, and he would like to add such language expertise to his career. Boxing and martial arts are an important part of John's life, and hopefully he will not die from such endeavors. While he is in Cheyenne, he is pursuing additional training and occasionally has a bump or gash as evidence. Because his boxing coach moved away from Cody, John took advantage of a recent home remodel to accommodate his interests. He turned his bedroom into a boxing gym complete with painted concrete floor, a speed bag, a double-end bag, and a heavy bag, plus a weight bench. Oh yes, he did include a bed in the room as well. John and Taylor, it's been a pleasure to have you here this session, and we ask you to have privilege of the floor and tell us what you would like to tell us on this second to the last day of the session. But thanks so much for being our pages this year. Taylor, please go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, honorable representatives, Mrs. Chief Clerk, and House staff, I never thought working in a place where the average age of 61 was... just kidding. I don't work in the Senate.
Point of order, Taylor.
The first day I got here, I was slightly more than intimidated by all of you. And I thought that my main tasks here would be getting coffee and running around your guys' sarcastic notes to everyone. And I thought it was going to be 40 long days of some twisted form of penance. But but thanks to all of you who have been so incredibly helpful, friendly, and occasionally humorous, I can say with the utmost sincerity, each and every one of you has left a positive and permanent imprint on my life in some way. And this will be an experience I'll never forget. Thank you.
John, you have 30 seconds.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor, please.
Oh, well, go ahead, John.
Honorable representatives and Mrs. Chief Clerk, it's my pleasure to speak in front of you today, and I appreciate this opportunity. First off, I'd like to have you all know that I'm extremely prepared this morning. In fact, I'd like to single out and thank Representative Brown for letting me use his computer to type up this speech at 9:45 this morning. That's a true story, actually. Originally, when the chief clerk told me about a presentation, she said that the pages come up here, and she said just that, we have a presentation. And she didn't specify it was a speech, so my mind automatically went somewhere else. So I was thinking, you know, we were going to come up here and demonstrate some sort of ballroom dancing or something. So if I've looked nervous in the past week, it's because I thought I was going to have to come up here and river dance. But I didn't know. So I asked Mr. Speaker, and he said, just talk about what I've learned and talk about what stood out the most and basically say something from the heart. So naturally, I considered writing a short speech about the phenomenon of how having a law degree is somehow directly related to spending extensive amounts of time at the microphone. But the good speaker reminded me of how easily my eyes blacken and advised that I strongly reconsider. Okay, that's a lie. Everybody knows he couldn't blacken my eyes. But eventually, I just decided to speak from the heart like he told me to, so here I am. When given the chance to take this job, I immediately consulted with my dad. Without hesitation, he told me to do it. He said that this would be much more than a steady wage and a resume builder. It would be a life experience that I would remember and utilize for the rest of my life. And when he came down yesterday and I took him around to meet my fellow staff who have taken care of me and to meet the representatives who have made this job a great pleasure for me, he found out he was more correct in that regard than he even originally thought. So I'm taking the time now, while I'm up here in front of everyone, for everybody to hear me, to thank those people who have changed my life in such a positive way. To my fellow pages, my fellow staff, Taylor Lenz has become a great friend of mine, who have given me endless grief, as well as mothered me to death, and on more than one occasion driven me to the emergency room. I thank you from the heart. And to the representatives, who too gave me endless grief, but who also taught me more about the legislative process than I've ever learned in any and all civics and American government classes put together, and many of whom have become great friends and who I hope to stay in good touch with. I thank you, too, from the heart. And to a man who's become a great friend and idol to me, who consequently gave me the most grief, who showed me how to see both sides of an issue, who taught me how to compromise, and showed me how a great legislator acts and runs things, my very good and my very close friend, Mr. Speaker, Representative Colin Simpson, I thank you from my heart. That's what I have. Thanks for listening.
John, it's nice to know that this experience has molded you into what I hoped you would become. No. No. I'm just kidding, John. I had to respond to that. Those are very kind words. Thank you very much. And it really has been a great pleasure to have you both here. You're both wonderful, wonderful youth, wonderful people, and you will do well and you will both go far. And we probably will see one or both of you in this body sometime in your lifetime, and we look forward to that. And if not, we know you'll do great things otherwise. So thank you for being here and for sacrificing, and we know that that the little stipend we give you will help you enjoy the moment even more. So thanks so much, and again, it's been a great pleasure to have you all here. Representative McComey, did you wish privilege? No, you're just standing in front of the microphone. Okay. Well, should we do some business? We hear at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message 463 on House Bill 61. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, would you mind coming up, please?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move concurrence on message 463 concerning House Bill 61, the revisers bill. These are issues that continue to come up as we move along in the session. We pass the bill, sent it over to the Senate, and our LSO staff continues to find things that need to be corrected. And those amendments were put on by the Senate, and we are being asked to concur. And I would urge you to vote aye on concurrence, because these amendments continue to simply add to the revisers bill and correct errors that exist in statute.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Find the magic words here. We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments on House Bill 61. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly. Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds, Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon, Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim, McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur on message 463 dealing with House Bill 61. Next message for our consideration is message 449 on House Bill 69, Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move concurrence on message number 449, reference House Bill 69, Driver's Education Program Funding, and ask you to vote aye. I've discussed the amendments with the sponsor, and she has no problem with them. Basically, what the Senate decided to do was, rather than you had to to have anybody have to qualify with free and by using free and reduced lunch. Anybody that wanted to apply for a scholarship for this program could do that, and they struck out the free and reduced lunch language and made all students eligible.
Representative Teeters.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I just wanted to clarify to the body that the House position was that there was going to be some sort of income qualifying standard, and that's why we had the free and reduced thing in there. So if the House wants to maintain that position, you should vote no on concurrence.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When consulting with the gentleman that works with us on education legislation, we found out that it's too complicated to put those two factors together, and he suggested that we delete that information or legislation over on the Senate side. So that was the reason. And my anticipation is that this will move slowly. What's important about this piece of legislation is because we do not have the statistics of the number of programs that are really active in the state of Wyoming and the number of individuals taking this course, that I think that this will give us numbers to work with in the future that are more accurate in regards to driver's education. So I would ask the body to vote aye on this concurrence.
Anyone else for their first time? Their second time? Representative Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a hard time understanding why it would be difficult for the school district to print out a list of those students that qualify for free and reduced lunches and then simply verify whether or not that person's on that list. I don't think that's anything that we can't overcome. And I personally felt much better about the bill when we had some sort of income qualification. So I would urge you to vote no.
Anyone else for their second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 69. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly. Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
McComey. Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Throne. Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 27 ayes, 33 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 69. The next message for our consideration is message 451 on House Bill 85. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 451 relative to House Bill 85 and ask for your aye vote. In consultation with the prime sponsor, after some lengthy dissertation about poor Yorick, the result was either to be or not to be. Members of the House, if you look on page 2, it was just a language correction. The original language said the same drive axle when the vehicle is required to be utilized tire chains. To remove the word be makes more sense in the English language, and so I would ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 85. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy. Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon. Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 85. The next message for a consideration is message number 452 on House Bill 118. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message 452 to House Bill 118, and the amendment change that was done on the Senate side. We'll have Representative Peterson explain it, and I ask for your favorable eye.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Uniform Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act creates an important piece that's in there, and I have to tell you about this part to explain why the amendment was put in there. Prior to this, the Uniform Management of Institutional Funds Act, without the P in there for prudent, had your expenditures based on the HDV, which is the historic dollar value, and that is the dollar value in which the endowment was started at, and with its contributions. HDV in times where we are right now can also be referred to as high dollar value. This originally was put into as an act in after the 2001, 2002, 2003 market sell-off, when endowments, foundations, other eleemosynaries, charities held as a trust had trouble spending to keep their programs running. And so what this allows is say, okay, your endowment was created to keep this nonprofit running, and now because you've dipped underneath your high dollar value, you can no longer make a distribution. So of the 43 states, over 35 have already passed this to allow this HDV exemption, and basically they put in optional language. There's this national commission, and they do a lot of uniform state law. And they developed this piece, and they put in an option in there for those of us like myself who would say, okay, now that you can dip under the high dollar value, let's limit that. And so what it does is it makes a rebuttable presumption of imprudence for spending more than 7% of the endowment fund in any 1 year, because we're saying, okay, you can go below the HDV, but we're going to say that dipping below 7% is a presumption of imprudence. The Senate thought, well, they should be a little bit more conservative and limit that to 5%. I'm very comfortable with that language because you'll notice that I did say it was a rebuttable presumption of imprudence. So if they have some a way of proving the fact that they needed the excess funds, let's say that they needed a 6 or 7%, and they could accurately document as to why that would come true, that would be it. But as far as we're concerned, we're saying that a 5% distribution eating into your could potentially eat into your principal over time. So I would hope that we vote for concurrence on this. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Any other eleemosynaries that would like to speak? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 118. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 118. The next message for our consideration is message 465 on House Bill 130. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence to message number 465 for House Bill 130 and ask for your aye vote. Ladies and gentlemen, the Senate TRW committee gave it a mild trim, this bill on the state parks matching account, which we were proposing to set up a basically a program to try to get money for the state parks. And then it went over to the Senate appropriations, and they just about shaved its head. And really all this does is change this bill from setting up a state parks matching account to helping out Kurt Gowdy Park. And that's all it does. It allows the money to do that. And I think it's a good way to start this type of program, to understand that it will help the state parks to be built to what we want to see them, and have matching funds to do that. So I would encourage your aye vote, and I think the primary sponsor of the bill would like to add something to that.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do urge concurrence. We do have a promise of funds for Kurt Gowdy. I had hoped to make it broader so that it included all the state parks. Those folks on the other end of the Capitol thought that we might have been a little premature, and they want to see the State Parks and Cultural Resources Department kind of come up with a program. They thought this should have been studied a little bit more. I agreed to that. We do have a promise of funds for Kurt Gowdy, so I really urge your concurrence. It's a great way, as the good chairman said, it's a great way to start. And I think you'll see this come back for all the state parks and cultural resources throughout the state. But for right now, great start. I would appreciate your concurrence.
Anyone else for their first time or second time? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 130. Majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake. Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne, Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 130. The next message for our consideration is message number 466 on House Bill 144. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 466, concurrence with House Bill 144, and ask you to vote no. And I will have the prime sponsor explain the reason.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 144, Transparency in Government Finance, basically included two main components. And the one that the Senate approved of and supported, which is a great thing, is the finance website itself. What they took off was the separate select committee on technology. And so what the main problem with that we have now is that the Department of A&I and Technology, the Chief Information Officer and his department in particular, do not have dedicated time with any committee, including Joint Appropriations. What they get is basically sound bites as part of all the other agencies' presentations. And so there's no opportunity to look at the technology infrastructure of the state and many of the issues and opportunities that are available there. And so what we would like to do in a conference committee is talk to the Senate about assigning these more global statewide responsibilities in the area of technology to a standing committee. Corporations is the one that makes the most logical sense because they already deal with telecommunications and some of those other things. Let me kind of click off for you some of the why this is so important. This comes from our Chief Information Officer. There's something like $270 million in technology alone spread out over all of our state agencies. That's a huge amount that really has no holistic overview in terms of policy, in terms of efficiency. And first of all, we're investing huge amounts in technology in individual agencies, but not spending enough time reviewing the impact of those investments. Many other states, jurisdictions require some form of all IT projects to be in context, in a context review across the jurisdiction before approving individual IT budget requests. Many more will be joining this practice because of economic conditions and the hard budget requirements to consolidate similar activities in IT. In Wyoming, this practice could be facilitated by that kind of a legislative group that has the time and the schedule to review enterprise technology. Currently, we review these technology investments on an agency-by-agency basis instead of a statewide basis. This tends to provide for less integrated systems, duplicate investments, provide no infrastructure investment that the state can leverage. We invest in IT today, and we will be paying for that investment, good or bad, likely, for the next 10 years. It is important to review these investments from a statewide perspective, data sharing, infrastructure and sustainability rather than a single agency need. And what we have experienced over the last few years is agencies receive approval for specific projects without consideration for the infrastructure investments required, the long-term supportability, the data sharing and integration. And this results in agency requests later to central IT organization, ANI, which cannot support the infrastructure because there was no investment to do so. Then the agency builds a duplicative infrastructure, including all the staffing to support whatever it is. This has occurred with networks, email, firewalls, data center closets, GIS, applications development and support, web pages, document management systems, case management systems, IT security systems, the list goes on and on. The other contributing factor is the lack of IT capital construction fund. IT is exactly the same to facilities in this respect. We need to invest in a building and then maintain it, and we need to invest in the infrastructure and then maintain that system. And the part we're missing is the legislative forum to review IT capital investments first. And given the economic conditions and the amount of funds we expend on technology, it appears to be time for facilitating a more thorough strategic review of state IT investments. And this requires a forum with dedicated time. The return on investment for IT is primarily for the agency as a whole and does not necessarily benefit any one party enough to offset that significant upfront investments. However, if we invest in the infrastructure, the return globally, then the return on that investment changes dramatically. For instance, just one example would be one email and system instead of 18. So in order to do this, we'd like to go to a conference committee and propose assigning the duties that were assigned to the select committee in the original bill to the corporations committee or possibly the legislative select committee on technology. But in order to do that, that would require expanding the scope of that body. So probably the corporation committee makes the most sense. Please vote no on concurrence.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 144. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy. Carson,
no.
Childers,
no.
Cohey,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
no.
Dirks,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales,
no.
Hallinan,
no.
Hammonds,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon, Lockhart,
no.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Miller,
no.
Millen,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Byrd, aye to no. Are there any other changes?
Philp,
aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 6 ayes, 54 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on message number 466, House Bill 144. The next message for our consideration is message number 453 regarding House Bill 160. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move concurrence on message number 453 concerning House Bill 160, and I would ask for your no vote. The constituent service allowance, the original bill simply allowed for an overlap that if the member's entire quarterly amount is not paid in any quarter, that member may claim previously unused amounts in subsequent quarters. What this bill does, and if you look at the title of the bill, it's fairly narrow. Authorizing payment of unexpended constituent service allowance in subsequent quarters and limiting annual amount of the allowance. What the Senate amendment does is say that after January 7th, 2013, the allowance shall be paid quarterly from the constituent service allowance account to all incumbent legislators. And then to the extent, to the extent funds are not available, it would be prorated. That wasn't the intent of the bill. I think it goes beyond the scope of the title. And it's really a much different policy question than the limited question we've raised in the bill. And the sponsor of the bill would like to go back to conference and see if we can have this element removed. Thank you.
Anybody for the first time? If not, we're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 160. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. No. Bagby. No. Barbuto. No. Berger. No. Blake. No. Bonner. No. Brechtel. No. Brown. No. Buchanan. No. Bird. No. Kennedy. No. Carson. No. Childers. No. Cohey. No. Connolly. No. Kraft. No. Davison. No. Dirks. No. Edmonds. No. Esquibel. No. Gilmore. No. Gingery. No. Goggles. No. Hales. No. Hallinan. No. Hammonds. No. Harshman. No. Harshman. No. Harvey. No. Illaway. No. Yagi. Jorgensen, no. Landon, no. Lockhart, no. Lubno, aye. Madden, no. McKim, no. McComey, no. Mercer, no. Meyer, no. Miller, no. Millen, no. Moniz, no. Patton, no. Peasley, no. Pedersen, no. Peterson, no. Philp, no. Korberg, no. Roscoe, no. Semlek, no. Shepperson, no. Stewart, no. Stubson, no. Teeters, no. Thompson, no. Throne, no. Wallace, no. Zwanitzer Dan, no. Zwanitzer Dave, no. Mr. Speaker,
no.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. One aye, 59 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 160. The next message for our consideration is message number 454 on House Bill 161. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 454, House Bill 161, Serve Wyoming, and urge your aye vote. An explanation of the handiwork of the other chamber will be done by our House Minority Leader.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to give you a little background on what Serve Wyoming is, it's a nonprofit corporation that is now going to be within the governor's office that implements the purposes of the National and Community Service Act of 1990. And what they do is they administer the funds that they receive, and these funds come from federal, state, and private donations. And they foster community service, volunteerism, mentoring, and literacy. And they have a statewide plan for promoting volunteer involvement and citizen participation in Wyoming. As we face the economic issues of our country at this point in time, volunteerism is going to help us immensely in workforce services that are needed. The reason why we're asking that you do approve this and concur with this is that it's a reduction in the amount of money from $125,000 down to $75,000. And these are matching funds with the federal government. Although 37 of the 50 states already do this, we were in hopes that we could do that in Wyoming, but apparently we're not going to be able to at this point in time. And rather than possibly losing the amount that we have, we're going to ask you to concur. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time. We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 161. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Swanitzer Dave?
Aye.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Thompson? No to aye. Are there any other changes? Teeters? Aye to no. Are there additional changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 noes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 161. The next message for our consideration is message 457 concerning House Bill 179. Representative Wallace, would you come up? Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message 457 relative to House Bill 179 and ask for your favorable consideration. House Bill 179 refers to the continuing study by the state's highway agency to determine the feasibility and the responsible consideration of highway tolls specific to Highway I-80 as a transcontinental route. Inside the bill, as it left the House, the conversation revolved around kind of cumbersome language, such as constructing one new lane eastbound and one new lane westbound. The Senate's version changes that to construction of additional lanes that would be restricted to certain vehicles, which would mean the construction, perhaps, of additional lanes here and there for truck traffic only or automobile traffic only, and allowing our state's highway agency to have some latitude in what they determine to be right or wrong. I would so ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 179. Majority of elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson,
aye.
Bagby,
no.
Barbudo,
no.
Berger,
no.
Blake,
no.
Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
no.
Byrd,
no.
Kennedy,
no.
Carson,
no.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
no.
Edmonds, Esquibel,
aye.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
no.
Meyer, Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harshman, no to aye. Peasley, aye to no. Blake, No to aye. Are there any other changes? Carson? No to aye. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 40 ayes, 20 noes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 179. Next message for our consideration is message number 467 on House Bill 191. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message 467 relative to House Bill 191. Members of the House, this is the bill that deals with motor carrier transportation contracts, which brings some additional parity to liability issues between a motor carrier and the agencies and the shippers and customers that particular motor carrier works for. The Senate committee added a couple of amendments in response to some industry concerns, and basically one of them deals with issues that's found in Wyoming's oil and gas industry, which really doesn't affect the bill much at all, and the intent of the bill remains sound. In fact, the legislation that currently is going through the legislature in the state to the south of us was similar to this, only very cumbersome, and what they have done is scrapped that one in lieu of this bill practically verbatim. So I guess the wisdom of Wyoming is showing up in other states. Mr. Speaker, I would so ask for your favorable vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 191. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer. Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 191. The next message for our consideration is message number 468 on House Bill 211. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message number 468 relative to House Bill 211. It deals with the subject of veterans' license plates, things that we've had before this session a lot. It was amended by the Standing Committee over in the Senate, and then amended again in the Committee of the Whole, amended again in second reading, amended again in third reading. So it did bring a lot of interest to that particular body. The big changes are in the bill to remove the words active duty servicemen, which means that active duty servicemen would not be eligible for these veterans' license plates, however, the issue is relative to veterans, which has been described to me as essentially people that have exited the service or remain in the National Guard. There also is the inclusion of Purple Heart recipients in the Senate version, which to the sponsor of the bill is an acceptable thing. The inclusion of the allowance for a motorcycle or a handicapped motorcycle plate, also acceptable. When the bill left the House, it included a provision that the $50 additional fee for the procurement of the license plate would be part of it would be given to the Veterans Commission, or all of it would be given to the Veterans Commission for the furtherance of their activities to promote veterans' issues in the state. However, the Senate version puts all of that additional funds into the highway fund, I believe in response to the additional costs to the highway agency for the development and issuance of those plates. Following a conference with a sponsor, it is thought that this compromise is really better than no loaf at all. and better than taking serious issue with the changes. So, Mr. Speaker, I would ask for your aye vote on concurrence to House Bill 211.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 211. The majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye. Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
McComey, aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
I
am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 211. The next message for our consideration is message 458 on House Bill 222. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move concurrence with message number 458 in regards to House Bill 222. Establishment of private roads, and asked for your aye vote, and I would ask the sponsor of the bill to explain what they did to his bill.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We tried to add a provision onto this bill to solve another problem. That was stripped off by the other body, and that's okay. The person that requested that understands what that's about. As far as the amendatory language that's here, when we went down there and had a discussion, we mutually dreamed up, I don't know if I like that, thought up a better way of doing this, and so this was an amendment that was actually written over here and implemented by the other body, and so I would recommend that we concur.
Anyone else for their first time? Or second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 222, and the majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz, Patton,
no.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 222. The next message for consideration is message number 469 on House Bill 230. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message 469 relative to House Bill 230. What the Senate did to House Bill 230 was to strip out conversation dealing with the titling of vehicles, recreational vehicles, off-road vehicles, multipurpose vehicles, which essentially neuters 230 to some degree. But the reason for doing that is the same discussion occurred in Senate File 58, which had been previously passed, which the same issue can be found on pages 20 and 21. To avoid the redundancy, the Senate removed that from House Bill 230. So I would ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time or second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 230. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds. Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore. Gingery, Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley, Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 230. The next message for our consideration is message number 470 on House Bill 239. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message number 470 related to House Bill 239, Bighorn Basin Discovery Center. And I turn the explanation of the work of our handiwork of our friends down the hall over to the good. I wanted to say, I was going to say majority whip, but I think that's all right. To the majority whip of the from Thermopolis,
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just going to ask the good
And I meant to conclude and ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, these changes are perfectly acceptable. They just moved back the time that the Joint Powers Board has to report back from September to December. They also are going to allow this the Joint Powers Board to spend part of the funding on planning, but also investigating the economic viability and funding options. And they were very explicit about the need to expand, look at funding options that go beyond the state of Wyoming. So these are good changes, Mr. Speaker. The money reverts back at 2010 if the Joint Powers Board has not finished its work. So I urge the body to support the concurrence.
Anyone else for their first or second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 239. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lebno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Harshman.
Excuse.
Harshman excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate changes to House Bill 239. The next message for consideration is message number 460 on House Bill 294. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence, message 460, to House Bill 294. They piddled a little bit with some language, but what they really ended up and did is cut the appropriation from 150 to 80. But I have talked to the prime sponsor, and I believe I can honestly say he thinks that this is fine and that we should concur.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 294. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks. Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman excused, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen, Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen, Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 294. The next message for our consideration is message number 471 on House Bill 298. Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message 471 concerning House Bill 298 and ask for your aye vote. And for an explanation of the changes that the Senate made, I would like to yield the floor to the co-chairman of the Labor Committee who chaired the meeting when this bill was heard and also I believe was floor manager or perhaps the sponsor shared floor managing with the sponsor.
Co-chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These amendments were actually improvements to the bill. The first one that you see just simply corrects the numbering for a new section, and it relates to the criminal background checks. And the second one expanded the locations where retired emeritus physicians can practice to include medical practice offices, but retained requirements that they do it without remuneration. They don't get paid for it. The second reading amendment made it clear that where a physician is supervising three or fewer physician assistants, that the Board of Medicine may not deny application for that supervisory relationship except for good cause specific to that particular physician's circumstances. And those were good things that happened. I would urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for their first or second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 298. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman excused, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen, Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
conflict.
Stewart, conflict, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
By your vote, you have adopted, by your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 298. The next message for our consideration is message number 462 on House Bill 299. Chairman Berger. This is probably at the end of your list after the Joint Conference Committee report, so we'll just complete the concurrence request at this time. Message number 462 on House Bill 299, if you're ready. Chairman Berger.
Mr. Speaker, I must be asleep. I thought you said 469, so I was... I move concurrence on message 462 in regard to Bill... House Bill 299 and ask for your favorable aye and would have, well, I was going to have the good chairman from, or gentleman from Casper to speak about this, but these are changes to the school facilities budget process, and as you know that this has been a work in progress through the session, and what it is in regard to is the different tiers of separation on the facility planning, and they added planning and then inserted design for the process just to keep the process clear. And so it was favorable by the sponsor, and I would ask for an aye.
Anyone else for their first time on House Bill 299? Representative Harshman, did you want to say anything about this? The concurrence request on House Bill 299 school facilities budget process.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't hear all what you said, but ladies and gentlemen, the Senate adopted some amendments that I brought. The biggest one on the substitute two is that last year we passed into law with one sentence that allowed the School Facilities Commission to use major maintenance basically for anything, and that wasn't really the intent when we set up the original legislation. I had the amendment ready for the House, but I just didn't run it over here. And so that's in the sub-bills that major maintenance stays with major maintenance. So that's an important part on page 2 and 3 and into 4. Cleaned up a few statute connotations on page 4 and 5 on how the budget is brought forward. And then a change on page 6 was this: we used Tier 1 and Tier 2 projects. The Senate preferred to go back to common state terms like design and planning and construction phases. So that's in the bill on page 6. We also gave the commission the flex that they wanted in in the amounts of 15% could be moved around through the project phases, but that's with the approval of the commission and the governor that would have to sign off on that. We also put in language that if the commission, and it's on page six, line seven, that the commission should come to us, the director and the commission, with what their anticipated inflation, unanticipated costs, offsite infrastructure, all those things that you'd think of contingency or special projects, come to us with a number and we can handle it in the budget process. But let's don't use major maintenance as kind of a backup for that. That's not the intention. And so just tell us the number, we'll budget it and give you that flexibility. So it cleans that up. Also on page seven, require the select committee to meet at least quarterly. They'll meet in conjunction with the commission. And other than that, that was really the only changes. So it just improved those things, I think, and it really did. I think the bill's in great shape, and I'd request your vote for concurrence.
Representative Madden?
Yes. I have a short question to the sponsor. When you get to the second page of this concurrence document, I think what this is doing is changing where we talk about appropriations from the, I'm on small I here, appropriation from the school's foundation program account, and based upon recommendations of, and this crossed out facilities commission, and they put in the select school facilities committee. That's kind of a big departure. I don't know if that happened over there or if it happened over here, but that's a real change in the order of things from the way it's been before, where the select committee would be making recommendations to the commission. I don't know.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Teeters?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I think this is a positive change personally. The School Facilities Commission can meet with the Select Committee on School Facilities, and they can work those recommendations out, but ultimately the recommendation, I believe, should come from the Select School Facilities Committee. So I view it as a positive change.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 299. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer, Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 299. Joint Conference Committee appointments on House Bill 160. Chair Landon with Yagi and Bagby. Chair Landon with Yagi and Bagby. Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 144, Chair Wallace with Meyer and Brechtel. That's House Bill 144, Chair Wallace with Meyer and Brechtel. Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 69, Chair Berger with Millen and Shepperson. That's Chair Berger with Millen and Shepperson on House Bill 69. We're at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number 1 on House Bill 114. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence to Joint Conference Committee number 1 to House Bill 114 and ask you to vote aye. And when we ask you to take this back to Conference Committee, there was a lot of good wordsmithing in the Standing Committee Amendment, but it went into the Hold Harmless Clause. We were concerned about that, and we were also concerned about some of the personnel cuts that were made by the Appropriations Amendment. So we went and had a good conference report, and the wordsmithing, the reason it looks so long is the wordsmithing was all in the Standing Committee Amendment, so we had to put that all back in. The meat of that, if you'd like to go to page, I believe it's page 25, where in the Hold Harmless section, section 6, and what we did, because of our financial condition that we have, at the old language, the original language said that they'd be held harmless to a certain amount, but that was when we thought we had lots of money. So what we did is we reworded this, and we struck, shall ensure that the total state appropriation distributed, and we added, shall to the extent fiscally responsible recommend that its budget request for total state appropriations for subsequent distribution to each college district. And that's what we did to the Hold Harmless. And then when we added the word each down through there, and we put line 11, shall be of a sufficient amount that, when combined with the total revenues of the 4 mills required. So what we think is we've made the changes on this to the point that if our revenues aren't there, well, they'll float like everybody else is doing. And I think that was a very good changes. We also met with spoke to the director of the College Commission, and he said he can live with the budget cuts to the staff requests. And I'll stand for any questions that you might have.
Anyone for their first time? Your second time? We're voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to House Bill 114. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen, Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 ayes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to House Bill 114. The next Joint Conference Committee report for our consideration is Joint Conference number 1 on House Bill 288. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Committee report number 1 to House Bill 288 and ask for your aye vote. This is a joint work effort, and we'll ask for the co-chairman of the Minerals Committee to explain the resulting effort.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, what the lengthy amendment that you have before us, you'll recall that this bill basically was introduced to allow the construction of utility lines in segments rather than what is current practice in requiring utility lines to have right-of-ways for the entire line before construction can begin. We did that initially in the bill by simply adding in three words, a segment of, in 37.2205. What this, we've accomplished the same thing, but we've accommodated many of the concerns that some on this side had and the folks down in the Senate had with respect to the protection of private property owners and ensuring that they had adequate notice and an opportunity to be heard before these lines were constructed. And so the way it would work now under this, under the way the bill is constructed under the conference committee report is that you could construct in segments, but that construction is limited to 10 miles from the advancing end of the utility line. And there's a couple of exceptions to that. If there is a segment entirely between substations or switching stations, you could construct between in segments. If it's all on state or federal land, you could construct in segments, or if it ends at the state line. There is also built in subromanet 4 and 5, built into this section, the mechanisms for notice and for a hearing. This is found in other parts of the statute as well, but this just ensures that it's clear that even in this segment construction process that those folks are entitled to notice and hearing. And with that, I would take any questions.
Madam Majority Whip, would you come up, please?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. As I understood the original Senate amendment that we failed to concur with, the purpose of that amendment was to allow for notice to landowners in a 10-mile advance stretch of the transmission line. So those landowners would have the opportunity to participate and possibly be effective in rerouting a line around their house or their corral or whatever it might be. As I'm not quite sure what this conference report says, but it indicates that the commission may authorize the construction of segments of a line before right-of-way is required, and that's the purpose of the bill. For an entire transmission line, provided that, H, Romanet 1, the public utility has satisfied all requirements, Romanet 2, the public utility has obtained all required right-of-way, and 3, authorization to construct within the authorized segment shall not exceed 10 miles from the advancing end of an authorized segment, provided that the commission may waive the 10-mile limitation if the transmission line segment is. So you've got a 10-mile segment that the commission may waive this limitation if these things apply. It's located entirely between substations or switching stations, and I assume those are determined by the utility proposing the line. And why wouldn't they just put in switching or substations every 10 miles to not have to give the notice? And then Romanet 3B, located in between a substation or a switching station and the state line. That one doesn't seem to be a big deal. I don't know how often that could happen. And then C, located entirely within state or federal land. It seems to me that it's somewhat, it's becoming, from what I understand of the issue, federal condemnation powers apply if it's on federal land. State condemnation, there are federal condemnation powers that can apply to fee land. But what seems to be happening is that these corridors are being pushed to fee land and not state or federal lands. And if that's the case, we have an exception here that simply would say, I guess there is no notice required to the state on the 10-mile increments. Well, why not? There might be things on state land that we would want to know about a routing of a transmission line. Would we want it to go right through a cultural site? That probably some issues with that example anyway. But and then so H Romanet 4. Notice has been provided to all private property owners along the entire length of the proposed transmission line. I'm not sure when that notice is supposed to be given. And if that's the only notice provision, I'm not sure that it's clear enough as to when the notice should be given in the manner that it could really have any influence over where the line is actually going to be sited or constructed. And maybe I'm just reading H incorrectly. And then Romanet 5, the commission provides an opportunity for private property owners who were adversely affected by the location of the segment and an opportunity to be heard before the authorization of a segment concerning the location. So I hope that this doesn't go along with the idea of notice in these 10-mile segments, but then create so many exceptions to it that it really has no logical effect.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem for your first time.
Madam Majority Whip, on subsection H, it reads the commission may authorize the construction of segments of a transmission line before a right-of-way is acquired. For an entire transmission line, provided that. And then it goes through Romanet 1 through 5 onto the second page there. And what I'm rendering is after the semicolon on Romanet 4, that it shouldn't say and, to make it clear that they have to do all of those requirements in Romanet 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. To me, it's not clear that they could maybe just satisfy one of those and go ahead with it.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. I think I'm against this. I don't think we ought to concur, and there's at least two things in here that just drive me nuts. I don't understand what this language shall not exceed 10 miles from the advancing end of an authorized segment. I have no idea what that means. The other thing that I really don't like in here is that there's no notice, there's no opportunity for involvement if it's on that segment's on state or federal land. Well, that's been one of my objections all along, is that they'd build on federal land that abuts private land and they'd build right up to it. And then go to the private landowner and say, you know, your options now are really limited because we already built this thing and it's set in here. We don't really have any choice except to sickle right on through your place, and you're just going to have to live with it. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. And so I just don't think I could agree with concurring with this. I think it needs a lot of work before I smell mischief here, and I would urge you not to concur.
Anyone else for their first time?
for their second time. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. I'm still having trouble tracking H3 in. H, Romanets 1 through 5 apply, but H3 seems to really be the important one on the 10-mile limitation, but then it's accepted, or it can be waived. And I do have some issues with subparagraphs A, B, and C of Romanet 3. I don't know why we can't just say in this bill that for every 10-mile segment, you have to give notice, whether it's to the state or the federal government or any landowner, and why there have to be exceptions to it. You can't create a private road without giving notice to every single person who that road impacts. Why should we build a transmission line without giving notice to everyone who that transmission line impacts? I can understand that utilities may not want to do some of these things, but I think to protect the public interest, notice ought to be required, and it ought to be difficult to accept from the notice requirement in the bill. So I urge us not to concur. But I also think that there's an issue with the existing law that we need to address, because if we do nothing, we may be subject to simply federal condemnation that is not a good option for us. So I would hope we could go back and try again for something that would recognize the concepts we have in statute for roads or whatever it is for notice, and that you just give notice when you're going to do something like this.
Chairman Lockhart, for your second time.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, or Minority Whip, Majority Whip. I'm going to get this thing right yet. Just a couple of things that I think you need to read kind of carefully, because that's what we tried to do as we worked our way through this bill. For starting, Section F is still in the statutes, and that is, in case of a certificate for construction, that's the right to construct, a high-voltage transmission line 230 kV or greater, the issuance certificate shall be conditioned that no construction is authorized until all right-of-way along the line is required. So that says you've got to have the right-of-way. Then if you look at H and you look at I, it says the public utility has satisfied all the requirements for issuance of a certificate except Section F of this section. And what we're saying there is in that all of the requirements for issuance of the certificate, that's the public notice, it's the passing through the kinds of requirements that are for site selection, and so that is done. All of that has to be done. And notice the all in that. And then it reinforces the public utility has obtained all the required right-of-way within the authorized segment, and then Roman S 3 double I is that we didn't want, the concern was expressed by the Senate primarily that if you had all of the right-of-way and you had a segment of line and then somebody within 10 miles of the end of it could also be impacted, and that's the reason for little Roman S number I, triple I, is that they may require you to also have those, unless it's all on federal land or on state land where there's no private citizens involved. This was more a private citizen issue. And then the second and third kind of exception to that, if it's identified segments. I'm not doing as good a job of that as I wish I had, but I'm using my second one up. And as far as the notice, notice has been provided to all private property owners along the entire length of the proposed transmission line. That's part of the permitting process that just goes on, and they have a right to come to the, and they're noticed of the Public Service Commission hearings on that proposed line. So they have the right to come to that and be heard. So I think we've taken care of making sure all of the citizens are notified that are affected by this, and that's state, federal, and private, and they have a chance to come to the Public Service Commission for their hearing. So I think maybe I've touched on most of the questions as I understood them.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to be convinced that this couldn't happen, and this just shows the absurdity of what we have here. I don't think it happened. But take the checkerboard. You know, when they built the railroad, Congress, they had to finance the railroad, and Congress did that by giving them every other section 10 miles. They started out 10 miles either side of the railroad track. They got to Cheyenne, the company ran out of money, and they moved it to 20 miles. And actually, when they got beyond Wyoming, they moved it to 40 miles. There's a 20-mile checkerboard that goes through Wyoming, and in parts of the Red Desert and from there west, it's largely undisturbed today. And it's called the checkerboard because every other section's owned by the feds. And then the intervening sections are privately owned or owned by the railroad, or there are a variety of things that happen. And so it looks like a big checkerboard with the railroad track running through the middle. So maybe they go, convince me this couldn't happen, that they go a mile or two beside the railroad and they say, okay, we're going to do this segment thing and we got these guys. So they go on the federal sections, every other federal section all the way through, and build the line. They just put a segment on federal land, every other one that goes through. Then they go back to the intervening private property owners, the other sections in there, and say, you know, the thing's up. We just got to come through you. We just can't do anything about it. Either do this the easy way or do it the hard way. I've heard that a lot. You want to do this the easy way or do it the hard way. I think under this exception they could do that. They probably wouldn't, but it just shows you the absurdity of this exception, and it shouldn't be that way. So on and against concurrence.
Representative Stebson.
Don't vote no on concurrence because you misunderstand what the bill does. There is a requirement for notice for every single affected landowner along the line. No exceptions. That's what this provides for. If you look at A, B, and C under Section 3, those are exceptions to the 10-mile length of construction. So if you come in and you're building across federal lands and there's 40 miles of national forest that you're building across, then you're not going to have to break that into to segments. They can give you approval to construct across that 40 miles. But let me refer you to, and this isn't in the bill, and so it's not in front of you, but Section E, right above F, and this is the argument we made in the conference committee, is we don't even need 4 and 5 in this. We don't even need the notice because Section E requires, before you ever get to the point of asking for construction, quote, the Public Service Commission shall give actual notice to of hearing on the application by registered mail to at the applicant's expense to each landowner who may be affected. The notice of the hearing shall be given at least 30 days before the hearing is held and shall contain a summary of the pertinent facts of the application. And that's on the certificate of necessity. That comes before we're ever at this point where we're asking for construction. And so when you get to this point, you already have the line cited. You have every single affected landowner along the line notified. They have been given an opportunity for a hearing. All this is approval to construct. That's all this is, approval to construct. You've already got the line sited. You already know exactly where it's going. And in the past, we've required them to have right-of-way from beginning to end, whether it's 10 miles or 1,000 miles. All this does is say if you have that right-of-way in the 10-mile segment, or if you have that right-of-way already secured between the segments or on federal or state land, you can begin construction. And the way the reason those segments make sense is that you can get to the end, you can get to a substation, and then it makes sense to stop. If there's problems with the right of way down the road, it makes sense to stop. You're not out in the middle of nowhere. You're not in those circumstances that the good representative from Albany County said, where you say we've got to come through you because there's nowhere else to go because you're at the substation. That's the whole logic behind the bill. And so there's been sort of these rabbit trails thrown out there, but every single landowner along the line by this point has received notice. No exceptions. They've received a right to appear at a hearing. No exceptions. The line has been located. All this is says, yes, we're going to give you permission to construct on that segment. It's common sense. It's going to make it much better and much more economical for companies to construct transmission lines, a vital need in this state, and it does not impact the ability of private landowners to protect their property. It just doesn't do it. They have the notice. They have the right to hearing. They have all the protections that you could want in there. So I would just encourage you, look at the bill. Look at what it actually does. And it's going to be a benefit to our state. Please, we wrestled with these issues on the folks from the Senate side, and I can tell you that they were fierce advocates for protecting private property rights. They were. That's why they brought these amendments in the first place. And we worked through them to make sure those protections stayed in place, but that the bill did what it was intended to do, allowed for construction in segments. And it does that. It's a good deal. So please vote aye on concurrence.
Representative Brown, Lockhart, and Stubson, would you come up for a minute, please? Madam Majority Whip, would you come up, please? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to allow additional debate on this conference report, which we'll have authority to do under our Rule 14-1. Madam Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker.
All right. Let me try and understand it then if I don't understand it. The law is now that you have to have all of the right-of-ways for the entire length. The bill says you can build in segments. The amendment says that the commission may authorize the construction of segments before the right-of-way is required for the entire line, provided the public utility has satisfied all the requirements of the issuance of this certificate. And that's the certificate of need, I think, or the certificate of authority that allows you to construct or at least condemn. Maybe you can answer that. But except subsection F, and that was discussed, they have required, has obtained all the rights of way within the authorized segment. And then the Romanet 3 is the authorization to construct shall not exceed 10 miles, except it can be waived. Can you speak directly to that waiver and my comment about how, why don't you just place substations or switching stations every 10 miles and then you wouldn't have to to receive or to fall under that 10-mile limitation. And the proponents are saying that all notice has been given about the line and the segments. But when I read Romanet 4, notice has been provided to all private property owners along the entire length of the proposed transmission line. And then Romanet 5 says it provides an opportunity for the owners who are adversely affected, an opportunity to be heard before the authorization of a segment concerning the location of the segment or the impact of any future extension of the transmission line. So if you give notice to everybody on the entire length of the line, and what does a landowner gain by this bill when there's no additional notice requirement if the location changes? And it implies that the location would change in Romanet 5. So if it changes, then, and now it's coming through my ranch instead of next door to me, do I get notice? And do I have the opportunity to change it? But if notice is just given once and then we say, well, we've given notice as the utility under the public service rules or whichever rules are applying, isn't the whole idea to allow the landowner to say, if we're going to allow this segmentation, there should be some requirement that the utility acknowledges the concerns of the landowner to the degree that they could actually move the line? And then if the line is moved, does that require additional notice?
Representative Stubson, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to those questions.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. The question about manipulating the location of the substations, moving them so that you don't have to meet with a 10-mile requirement. The reality is those substations are very, very expensive installations. And so the economics of it, you're not going to move those substations based upon whether you can construct a segment or not. You've already got the authority under this bill to construct the 10 miles, up to the 10 miles. And remember, all these segments, you've already got all of the right-of-way in the segment. You've reached your agreement with the landowners. You've paid them the money. You've got it in hand. It's there. Every segment, in order to construct, you have to have that. And so there may be some cases where you move a little bit of a substation as to make a segment make more sense, but you already own between those substations all the land and all the right-of-way that you need. And so you're not talking about moving around the segment. You're talking about a line that already, in a path that already exists. And I would agree with the speaker that four and five is not exactly artful language, but it is, and I contend that it's totally unnecessary language. Because all it says is it reaffirms what has already happened, which is there is notice to all the landowners along the line, opportunity for all the landowners along the line to be heard. So what we're talking about here is not an impact on the landowners' rights, either positive or negative, because the line has been set, everybody's been notified where the line has been set, and now you're going through the process of negotiating with the landowners along the line to purchase that right-of-way, or in the instance that an agreement can't be reached, eminent domain. That exists now. It doesn't change under this law. It's exactly the same before and after this law. All we're talking about is if we have a 1,000-mile line and there is a chunk of land 800 miles down the line that we're having troubles negotiating a deal with the landowner, and maybe we do have to have a condemnation action, or maybe we need just further negotiation. If we've got a substation back here at the beginning that's 50 miles long at the beginning, we can start construction there. We don't have to wait another 4 months negotiating with one landowner 800 miles down the way in order to start our construction. But we have to, in that segment, have all the rights that we need to put down the lines. We're not impacting that at all. I'm not sure if that answered. I may have lost track of a couple of the speaker's questions, so if there's some that I miss that you need me to readdress, I'd be happy to do that.
Representative Brown.
Well, thank you, whatever you are. I'm out of majority floor leader. I hope I got that right. The wrath of a woman scorned, you know. I don't see how that's going to work. In eminent domain, they routinely do these quick takes. I don't understand why we're talking about what we're talking about. If they want a whole right-of-way segment and they want to nail it down, they can do quick takes, and they actually take possession of the property and they litigate about it later. But I don't understand this Romanet 5. Does that mean that some landowner that's affected has to go to these segment hearings all along the line because segments are moving around and it may have differing impacts on his property? I don't understand why they can't get the whole thing set before they do it. And I'll tell you exactly what's going on right now. I have a client who has a piece of property up by the peak that's named after bears the same name as the city I live in. And they have drawn a line like from infinity to infinity. It just as well be it, so long. And it goes through one of the most pristine pieces of land that's left in our state. And it's just like, depending on your persuasion, it's just like the day God created it or the Big Bang went off, whichever way we want to go at it. It's just never been disturbed. And they've got a line, they just drew on a map, as they're prone to do, and that line goes right through and just ruins that property. Now, a lot of people would probably say, well, it's just worthless property. Anyway, you know, the old wilderness area thing, the land of no use and all that. Some people see it differently. And the question is, when do those landowners that own that land get to have a meaningful participation in the location of that line? Is it already gone? What do they do if they sit there and have a little tempest in a teapot about that piece of land? Meanwhile, down there, unless he goes to all the segment hearings, I guess, kaboom, 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 kaboom. It's coming, and maybe they start on the other side, kaboom, kaboom, going that way. And so you've got stuff on both sides. Then they come in and say, you know, your demands are just outrageous. To move this line and go around you, I don't know if you've ever noticed the interstate and the state south of us where it goes around that farmhouse, I can imagine how much they got invested in leaving that farmhouse there. And they're going to say it's just too expensive to move the line. And there's the exigencies are such that the public necessity, and it's all about a certificate of convenience and necessity, the public need is just greater than your private wants. And that's what I'm trying to put a stop to and say, before you do this, before you draw a 1,000-mile line and start building segments on there,
and we'll deal with the little inconveniences that these private landowners represent later. Let's get it settled, and let's give them a meaningful participation in the process before the location of this line becomes set in stone and there's nothing they can do about it. So I don't like that Romanette 5 the more I look at it. Is the guy going to have to get in his car and drive down to the end and start going to all the segment hearings and saying, you know, you're doing this segment and it's lining up with my property, and if he fails to do that, does he just slowly, inexorably get boxed in as the thing gets built segment by segment? So I would urge non-concurrence. I just think it can be better done than this.
Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader, I have a question for the floor manager. Is it your contention that H2, Romanette 2, that requires all rights of way within the authorized segment, is justification for saying Romanettes 4 and 5 should not be in here?
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, the subsection E under 372205 is the reason that 4 and 5 really don't need to be in there. And that's because subsection E, which actually deals with the certificate of necessity, which is before the process we're talking about right here, requires that actual notice be sent by registered mail to every single landowner along the line who's going to be impacted, and that each of those landowners has the ability and the opportunity to attend a hearing on the issuance of the certificate of necessity. So by that point, you've notified every landowner. You've given them the opportunity to be heard. The Senate really didn't argue with that, but they said that having a reaffirmation in H that there had to be notice and opportunity to be heard made them feel more comfortable, and that's why it's in there.
Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Whip, it seems to me that if your argument is notice has been given, all the required rights of way have been obtained, and this is just authorization to construct, and it's covered by subparagraph E in the law, then Romanettes 4 and 5 are just going to create problems for you if that's what you think that this law is going to say, because that's not what 4 and 5 say. 4 and 5 are totally contrary to the concept that the rights of way have been acquired and everything is really in place, and all this law does is says you can construct in segments. So you can argue this both ways. If you're on the side of the utility, 4 and 5 are going to kill you. If you're not on the side of the utility, there ought to be some particular opportunity to influence the section or the location of the line, and I haven't heard justification for that ability. So I can't go with the concurrence.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Madam Chairman, and I didn't get an answer to my question I asked before. If before they can authorize construction, all of the requirements of Romanette 1 through 5 have to be met, because it's not clear to me the way it's drafted that it does.
Chairman Lockhart, do you?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's several things that are going on in here, and let me, because there's a mix of who builds these lines and who doesn't, and I think there's been some experiences that are probably less than pleasant by some. These particular lines that we're dealing with here are those that are regulated by the Public Service Commission of the state of Wyoming. And the process in their environment is to do an EIS, Environmental Impact Statement, on the line. They get that done. They fit with what are the corridor designations within the state, and then they take all of this to the Public Service Commission and say, this is a line that needs to be built, and here are the benefits for the state of Wyoming. And that's the process they go through for what's called the Certificate of Convenience and Necessity. One of the certificates was referenced. But as you dig into the statute, there's also the reference to a certificate for construction. And on that, that's what we're trying to address here, is a certificate for construction in segments rather than the total length of the line. Now, when I first discussed this bill with you, one of the things I mentioned to you, if you have a 400-mile line, and that's about what they're talking about in this particular project, to try to build that after you've gotten every bit of it, it's not efficient and it runs up the cost for a variety of reasons. One, you can't get men, material, and money to do it all in one rush, and so the costs go up, and those are paid for by the ratepayers that the commission looks after. And that's why they have some interest in, with this amendment, if it were to happen, to allow construction in segments where all of the right-of-way has been acquired. You've heard several times the notice that goes out to all of these people. They've had this notice. They've had an opportunity to participate in that Public Service Commission hearing on that. And by their own initiative, they've either, before any construction, they've signed a right-of-way, or they've agreed to a right-of-way through their property at whatever compensation they've gotten from the private utility in this sector. So that's all really the way it works. And all this bill was set out to do was to allow the Public Service Commission, in certain cases, to build between segments rather than the whole length of the line. And I would just remind you that I think adding transmission to the state of Wyoming is for the benefit of a lot of the citizens here, and I hope that we don't, in some of the scary talk that we've heard on the floor, think that this is some sort of a corrupt organization that's just trying to take advantage of landowners. The landowners have already agreed to where this line's going to be built and at what value they got for the opportunity for them to use their private land for the construction.
Any other discussion, Representative Stubson?
We had one straw man that there were some exceptions that notice didn't apply, so we've knocked that one down. Straw man number two that we've seen, that this has some impact on the location of the line. It doesn't. It doesn't have any relationship whatsoever to the location of the line. Only effect of the bill is to allow you to construct on those areas where you've already secured the right-of-way. Has no impact on the location of the line. It is interesting. I was just reminded that the original bill that came through this House, all it said is you can build in segments. And there was only one no vote against that. This bill, this addition actually provides substantial additional protections. So I'm having a hard time seeing where the problem is. I couldn't agree more with what the speaker said, that 4 and 5, it's unnecessary to have them in there. But that is not a reason to vote against the concurrence. Because you look at number 4, what does it require? It requires that notice be provided to all the private property owners along the entire length of the proposed transmission line. And in answer to the good representative from Fremont County, yes, all 5 of the requirements under H apply every time you want to construct. So notice to all the property owners, E, they've already been given notice long before. So all you have to do is say, yes, we've complied with the procedure for the convenience and necessity certificate, and so you've met that requirement. Number 5, that they've had an opportunity to appear and talk about the location of the segment, and really it's the location of the line. That language is not good, but it still does not hurt the bill because they go back again to the procedure for certificate of necessity where they've given everybody an 30 days notice and opportunity to be heard. So we went round and round with the Senate on this, but it's really no harm, no foul. That's where their stake in the ground was, but it doesn't harm anybody having that language in there. All the bill does is it says, when you have the right of way for this segment, you can construct. It has the protections. Everybody's been notified. Everybody's been given their right to be heard. The line is located. The PSC does not have any desire to get in the middle of eminent domain actions. And this bill does not drag them into the middle of it. It's a good bill. It'll be good for the state. And I would once again urge your concurrence.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think I finally figured out what Romanet 3 means, and I like this thing even less. This thing, it says authorization. I couldn't understand this language because I'm thinking linearly. Authorization to construct the transmission line within the authorized segment shall not exceed 10 miles from the advancing end of an authorized segment. That doesn't mean 10 miles up or down the line. That means a 10-mile circle. I'm afraid it means they can move this thing 10 miles either side of the authorized segment and still go ahead and continue to build. And I just don't... That makes me even more uncomfortable here that it gives too much discretion on a segment-by-segment basis to move this thing sideways, back and forth, wherever it may be, and finally hem somebody in until they say, you know, we'd like to accommodate you, but we just don't have a choice. And I've heard that so many times, it just makes me ill to think about it. So I'm even more against concurrence than I was before.
Any other further discussion? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 to House Bill 288. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson. Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquibel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart. Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Steward. Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Berger.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 33 ayes, 27 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1 to House Bill 288. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move that the House recess until 2:30.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The House is recessed until 2:30.
Mr. Speaker, the majority party will caucus in the usual place.
Oh.